I dreamed my life was done, and I stood before God's Son. It was time to see what my reward would be. With love he reviewed my life to count what was done for Christ. For that is what will last eternally. See, I'd done my best to share that Jesus really cares, and he would save if they would just believe. Oh, but seldom did harvest come, and so few did I see. Till the Lord said, turn around and see. Then he showed me the faces of the ones who'd come because of me. So many faces at my smiled and showed me all the faces. Though you did not see the yield, you were faithful to plow the field. At a times you helped me plant the seed. No matter how small the task, you did just as I asked. And thanks to you, these souls have been set free. Then he showed me the faces of the ones who come because of me. So many faces that my life had led to Calvary. All those years I thought no.
Thank you, Brother Ryan. Good morning once again to everybody. We're glad that you're in the service today. Please stand with me if you would. Let's look to the scripture this morning. If you would turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 10. We are going to begin to read in verse number 13. If you will follow along as I read, if you would please. If you need a copy of the Word of God, there should be one under the seat in front of you. Please make use of that while you're here this morning, and then return it, if you would, to its rightful place when you're done, and we would gratefully appreciate that. Romans chapter 10, beginning to read in verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And of course, that is a quote from Isaiah chapter 52 and verse number 7. Pray with me if you would please. Heavenly Father, as we embark upon the most important week of our church this year, I pray, Father, that you would speak to hearts and to lives, that we would listen to what you have to say. Lord, that you would lay upon the hearts of each and every church member what they are to do for missions by faith this coming year for the cause of Christ. Lord, because one day we will stand in your presence. One day we will see the people who came to the Lord because we were faithful to give. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would bless this message this morning. Dear God, that you would fill me with your Spirit. Lord, that I might teach the practical things from the Scripture concerning missions giving. Lord, that you would anoint the hearing of those that are here today, that we would be receptive to your Word. Dear God, that we would hear and understand and follow through on the things that we need to do as a church. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. And Lord, if there's anybody within the sound of my voice this morning who does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray for their salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much, and be seated if you would please. Missions, 2018 Mission Conference. We start this Thursday evening. I mentioned that it's the most important meetings that we'll do all year long, because it will determine the outreach of this church to the regions beyond our walls, around the state of New Mexico and the United States of America, and around the world, six continents of the earth. Missionaries that we support, that we give to. I want to teach you this morning a practical lesson on the nuts and bolts of missions. What makes it work? Well, from a physical standpoint, what makes it work is dollars. Dollars and cents that are given so that missionaries might go around the world. I heard somebody say amen when we read the scripture, for whosoever, and that means anyone can be saved. That means Americans can be saved. That means Asians can be saved. That means that Mexicans can be saved. That means that Europeans can be saved. That means that Africans can be saved. That means that people can be saved all around the world. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, Paul writes, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How can they believe if they have not heard? That is what we are here to do today. We are here in a practical sense to be involved with God and the missionary to take the gospel around the world. It goes on to say, and how shall they believe in him who they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That word also can mean missionary. How can they hear unless somebody tells them. Here's the key. Verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? Let me ask you this morning, whose responsibility is it to send missionaries or preachers around the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is it the responsibility of the United States government? No, it is not. And thank God that it isn't, because it wouldn't get done. Is it the responsibility of the NFL? No, it is not. Is it the responsibility of the NBA? No, it is not. It is the responsibility of the local church. How shall they preach except they be sent? They must be sent by the local church. That is what the book of Acts is all about. We find that it says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Of peace. Bringing peace between God and man through the Son, Jesus Christ. The missionary takes the word of God as we send them financially and pay the bills so that they can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things. Let me ask you a question this morning. For those of you who invited Jesus into your heart, wasn't that a good message? Was that not a message of peace and glad tidings? How can we not share that message with the world? That is the responsibility of the church. That is what this next week is all about. The reality is, God sent his Son to die on the cross. His blood will forgive them of their sins, will cover their sins. The blood of Jesus will do that. Thank God for that. But he works in conjunction with the missionary, the preacher who goes out of the local church and takes the message. And then our job is to come along with the missionary and to send the missionary to the field. All three working together. God, the missionary, the church member, as we are all involved in the process. God would never give a charge to the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel unless he was to make a way to provide for that to happen financially. Nobody in this world exists on air alone. That does not happen. You eat, I eat, the missionary eats. We all have to eat. We all need provision. We all need finances. And so the reality is, God has entrusted us, he has included us in his great plan to reach the world. Now, I want to lay a foundation this morning. I want to talk about three areas of giving today. Because without the first, you cannot scripturally have missions. What is the groundwork? What is the first thing that we are supposed to do? The first thing that we are to be involved in as a local church is to tithe to the local ministry. What is a tithe? A tithe is one-tenth of your gross income going to the Lord for the furtherance of the church to meet the needs of the ministry. These lights that we enjoy this morning, those are not free. That has to be paid for. The heat that we enjoy today, that is not free. That must be paid for. The chairs that you sit on this morning, those were not free. Those had to be paid for. The carpet that you walk on this morning, that was not free. That had to be paid for. This building that we enjoy this morning, that is not free. That money had to be raised. And how was it raised? It was raised through the tithes of this local ministry. The tithe is a tenth. Go to the Old Testament this morning, if you would please. Leviticus chapter 27. Let's begin to read in verse number 30. Notice what what Moses records as he is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And he says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." Now you understand that in the days of Moses, prior to Moses, there was not a monetary system. Most people were farmers, but they were required to tithe. They were required to give one-tenth of what God gave them to the work of the ministry. Verse number 31, "And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes," in other words, he holds it back, he redeems it for himself. Notice what it says, "he shall add thereunto the fifth part thereof." You think your credit card is expensive? How do you like 20%? How do you like that? How does that fly? You see, God does not allow us to get away with robbing him, with cheating him. You say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait a minute, Brother Don. Are you saying that if I don't tithe, I'm a robber?" No, I'm not. But the Bible does. Go with me, if you would please, to the book of Malachi. I'm not saying it. The prophet Malachi is saying it. Go, if you would please, with me to Malachi chapter 3. Begin to read in verse number 4. Notice what Malachi writes. And notice he's writing under the Holy Spirit. God asked a question to the Jewish people. "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" In other words, they're in denial. "Whoa, whoa, what do you mean? I wouldn't rob God." "Well, I wouldn't do that. Wherein, God, have we robbed thee?" Well, don't ask the question if you don't want the answer. Here's the answer. He goes on to say, "But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" The answer, "In tithes and," don't stop there, "in tithes and offerings." God says, "You have robbed me." Now, here's the consequence. Or here's the solution. Or no, here is the consequence. Verse number 9. "Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." So I'm not telling you that you're a thief if you don't tithe. Malachi says it. So don't blame me. It's the Word of God. And isn't all Scripture inspired by God? Let me say that again. Isn't all Scripture inspired by Almighty God? Amen. Oh, good. I thought, oh, good. You're with me. Okay. All right. Here's the cure. Here's the cure. How do we correct this situation? "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse." What is the storehouse? The storehouse is the local church. Now, the storehouse in the Old Testament, first of all, was the tabernacle. And then it was the temple. And then it was the synagogue. And today it is the church. That is the storehouse. He goes on to say, "Bring ye all the tithes," plural, "into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." So if we are going to give to missions, understand, before you can give anything to God, you first of all have to meet the tithe. 10% of everything we make belongs to God. Now, why is that? Is God going to go out of business if we don't tithe? Oh, I'll tell you what, if that was the case, he would have gone out of business a long, long, long time ago. The reality is, in Christianity today, it is said that only about 15 to 20% of professing Christians tithe. That means the other 85% are robbing God. Now, what did he say? We're cursed with a curse. What did he say? If we withhold the tithe, we rob God. We rob even our whole nation. Let me ask you a question. Is it any wonder why America is in the shape that it's in today, when we've got 85% of professing Christianity who do not tithe? That is a disgrace to Almighty God, and it ought not to be. The reality is that when we do not tithe, we are robbing God, we are robbing our nation, we are robbing ourselves of the blessing. Now, I mentioned God doesn't need your money. That's not the point. The point is you and I need the blessing of being obedient to Almighty God. And it will bring blessing if we will do what God requires of us. Now, The reality is, if I make a dollar a week, how much of that belongs to God? 10 cents. If I make $10 a week, how much of that belongs to God? $1. If I make $1,000 a week, how much of that belongs to God? $100. 10%. You see? 10%. No matter if you're at the bottom or no matter if you're at the top, 10% of whatever you make, whatever I make. And by the way, I'm not going to stand here and preach to you to do something that I won't do myself. My treasurer, our treasurer is sitting here this morning, and he can verify the fact that this dude tithes. So I'm not preaching to you something that I do not do. I wouldn't follow a preacher this far. I wouldn't follow a missionary this far who didn't first of all tithe. Why? Because it's scriptural and it's right to do. And if it's right for you to do, it's right for me to do. And so understand this morning, this fits everybody in the church, everybody in the ministry who's a member of the church. We need to tithe to the local ministry. What is the next? The next is what we would call a free will offering. A free will offering. What is that? Well, sometimes maybe we'll have a speaker who will come and we give above our tithe and we give a special gift to that particular person or individual. Maybe it's some special need in the ministry that we're going to raise money for something. Just to give you an example, when the Jews came out of Egypt, and they got over, they had crossed the Red Sea, they're out in the wilderness. God told Moses to build the tabernacle in the wilderness. It is the place where God was going to abide in their presence. They had to raise the money. The Israelites had to raise the money to erect that tabernacle. So Moses says, okay, we're going to take an offering. It basically was a free will offering. People gave what they could, people gave what they wanted to, and it came to the point that once the tabernacle was established, it was totally furnished, everything was ready to go, everything was set up so the Shekinah glory of God could come and rest in the tabernacle there in the wilderness. Moses had to stand up and said, "You don't need to give any more." He was not a Baptist. I am. I'm not going to say that. The people gave so willingly that there was more than enough for the need of the tabernacle to be built. And by the way, it is estimated that if the tabernacle in the wilderness was erected today, it would cost upwards of $5 billion, I said billion, dollars to erect it today. Wow! Goodness! Goodness! That was given in a free will offering. So from time to time, there will be special needs that will come along in the ministry. And so that is above the tithe. That is a free will offering. Now there's a third kind of offering that is given, we're told about in the scripture. This is faith promise giving. Faith promise giving. And sometimes some people will refer to it as grace giving. Faith promise, grace giving, whatever you call it, it's the same thing. Faith promise and grace giving are not the tithe. You do not give your tithe to the missionary. It does not belong to him. And by the way, your tithe doesn't need to go to the televangelist either. It does not belong there. That is not your local church. The tithe belongs in the local ministry. It is the local ministry that buries you. It is the local ministry that marries you. It is the local ministry that ministers in your home, ministers to your needs. That's where the tithe belongs. It does not belong to some televangelist. And those men and now women are going to stand and going to give an account to Almighty God of why they robbed God's church. You write it down. It's going to happen. Okay, enough said about that, I guess. It got awfully quiet in here. Okay, so we have the tithe in the local church. We have free will offering, and now we come to faith promise. Faith promise, which is a commitment made to God, not made to the church, not made to the missionary, not made to some work somewhere, but a commitment that is made to Almighty God through the local church. That is how we were able to send missionaries around the world. Now, it is a faith promise commitment. What does that mean? That means I don't necessarily have the ability to give extra beyond my tithe and my free will offering from time to time. I may be strapped. Now, thank God for anybody in the ministry who has abundance. Thank God for that. If you can do it and not miss it, have at it. That's God understands that. That's all well and fine. But for me, I have to trust God by faith. As we will come this week and we will make a commitment to Almighty God, God, tell me what I need to trust you for this year to give to Faith Promise Mission Giving. And hopefully it will be an increase over last year. Why do I say that? Well, let me ask you a question for those of you who are involved in Faith Promise Giving. Did God provide it? So is he good to provide it this next year? If he provided it last year, won't he increase it? Won't he be able to do that this next year? He's able to do that. Because remember that scripture? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It is a faith promise commitment. So I am going to make a commitment to God that I'm going to trust him by faith to provide money so that I can give to missions either weekly or monthly through this next year to give an offering for faith promise. So we're looking at this and we're scratching our head and we say, oh, what can I do here? Well, let me first of all give you biblical precedent for what I'm talking about. Are you familiar with the story of Hannah in the Old Testament? Do you know what the desire of Hannah was more than anything in her entire life was? Her goal in life, what she wanted to do the very most, was to give a man-child to the ministry, to serve in the temple. That was her main desire. Only problem was this. Hannah was barren. She could not have children. She was mocked by her husband's other wife because she could not bear him children. More than anything, a woman who was married, a Jewish woman, more than anything she wanted to do was to produce a man child. Why? Because the Messiah would eventually come from that dad. So any Jewish woman wanted to produce a child. So she can't have a child. So she goes to the temple and she makes a faith promise commitment to Almighty God. God, you give me a man child and I will give him back to you. It's by faith. By faith. And so that's what faith promise is all about. Father, and let me just give you a personal example, and I'm going to have to hurry through this. Years ago, Nikki and I were struggling. We'd bought a home. We were giving our tithe. We're giving to missions. We're coming up to a faith promise commitment. God is working on our hearts. First night of the mission conference, we come to the altar and we cry out to God, oh God, we want to do more. God is telling us to double our faith promise commitment. How are we going to do that? We are struggling because, you know, we've been buying this house. We're trying to make ends meet. We haven't made our house payment for the month. It's getting towards the middle of the month, and we're going to get dinged with a late charge. How are we going to do this? And so we come to the altar and we say, God, you know our hearts. You know what we would do if we could. We're going to trust you to provide the increase. Went back to our seats. Next day I'm off. I get a call from our banking institution. And I'm thinking, oh, good. Oh, good, I'm behind on my payment. I'm going to hear it. And the lady says, Mr. Weakland, I've got some good news for you. I can use some good news. What is it? Well, do you remember when you signed your contract on the house? You remember we set up an escrow account? I said, yeah, I remember that. She says, well, we overcharged you. And we overcharged you so much that you don't have a house payment this month. Glory to God. And it gets better. They had overestimated my taxes. That's what happened. And so I'd put in my, you know, my thing for a veteran's exemption, $2,000 off my taxes each year that I don't have to pay. My exemption, I don't pay income tax on that. And guess what? You figure out for a year, it's the exact amount, Gary. The exact amount of our increase for the year. Faith. 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 And you give it. And you give it. And you give it. And God provides, and God provides, and God provides, and God provides. Because let me help you to understand something. God is more interested in faith promise than you and I could ever be. And so we give our tithe. We give to special offerings. And I could give you so many examples of that through the years. And then we give to faith promise. Faith promise is clearly defined in the book of 2 Corinthians. Go, if you would please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want to begin to read in verse number 8, I believe it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 7. Let's begin at verse number 7. Note, Paul is writing, and notice what he says in verse number 7. Make sure I'm in the right scripture. Hang on just a second. No, I'm not. I'm in chapter 8. Let me get in chapter 9. Verse number 7. He says, every man, according as he has purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he that hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now, let me go back for just a moment. I want you to notice the practical application of faith promise. This scripture is not dealing with the tithe. You do not purpose in your heart your tithe. The tithe is set, it is 10%. And the reality is we don't give our tithe. We pay it. We pay it. Abraham paid tithes in the Old Testament to Melchizedek. Some people say, that's under law. No, it's not. You check the records. Abraham was before the law. Abraham was before Moses. Tithing was incorporated into the law. It existed prior to. And by the way, it's never a good idea to touch what belongs to God. If you don't believe me, ask Adam and Eve. Huh? Never a good idea to touch what belongs to God. Now, let's move on for just a moment. Let's break this down a little bit. I want you to notice five truths that we are taught in these two verses, chapter 9, verses 7 through 8. First of all, faith promise is personal giving. Notice what it says, every man. Every man. It is God's design, it is God's plan for everyone in the local church to be involved in mission and faith promise mission giving. He didn't say some men, he said every man. It is a personal thing. I made my first faith promise commitment at the age of 18. 1969, right here in this ministry, I made my first commitment to the Lord to give by faith. Been doing it ever since. Now, let me ask you a question. If it wasn't going to work, Shouldn't it have not have worked somewhere in that 49 years? It works. I'm here as a living testament that faith promise works. And it works over and over and over and over again. Now, the reality is, folks, God wants all of us to be involved in faith promise giving. Okay, notice what else it says. Not only is it a personal giving, it is a planned giving, according as he purposeth in his heart. In other words, it's something we, on purpose, we decide we are going to do. God, I am going to trust you. I'm going to exercise my faith. I want to be the vessel through which you channel your blessings to the world. I want to be that willing vessel. So it is a personal giving. It is a planned giving. Thirdly, it is a persistent giving. So let him give. It is a persistent giving. Over and over and over and over and over. Trusting God, giving by faith. Then it is a positive giving. Notice what it says in the scripture. As we give by faith, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth what? A cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. You notice something I noticed something in my life when I started giving to faith promise. Understanding that, first of all, I tithed. If there were local or if there were special needs from time to time, my wife and I would give to that. And in giving to faith promise, I wanted to do more. I had a desire to do more. I wanted to help the missionary get to the field. I wanted to help the missionary preach the gospel around the world. One time we were involved in a faith promise mission commitment. This was many years ago when I was still a layperson. And I was at work. And man, I'd been to a faith promise mission conference and I was all pumped up and I'm ready to go. And, you know, there's this fellow who come by I used to work with, and he says, "What's going on?" And I said, "Oh, man, church, we're involved in a faith promise mission commitment and excited about what God's going to do this next year. Oh, I'd rather go than give." Really? I didn't say anything, but I'm thinking, really? God's going to call you? A person who won't help? God's going to call you? Send you to the mission field? I don't think so. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Not some stingy tightwad who wouldn't give a nickel to God's work. God loves somebody who goes beyond, who tithes, who gives to special offerings, and then will give a faith promise commitment. Next, it is a proof giving. What do I mean by that? Did not God say in the Old Testament, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't receive it"? Did he not say that? God is inviting us to prove him, to put him to the test. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God is more interested in what's going to happen this week than you could ever be. He is inviting you to become a part of that. He is inviting you to surrender to his will, to open up your pocketbook and do things that you never thought you could do. Now, what's the Faith Promise Conference about? The Faith Promise Conference is about bringing in either a special speaker, maybe a pastor. Some churches handle it that way. Personally, I like to bring missionaries in. Missionaries from foreign fields, some that have been there, done that. And I like to see their presentations on the screen of the souls that have been reached for Jesus Christ. People that I don't know personally. But because I helped send the missionary, I had a part in what happened. I had a part in the church that was established, that's reaching souls for Jesus. I have a part in what is going on. So I like to bring missionaries in. And then I like to encourage a couple of young bucks that are ready to go, get with the program, get out there and see what God's going to do. I think we need that challenge too. I think both sides are good. Because we need vision and we need purpose. And we need to move forward as a church to win the lost to Jesus at any cost, at any price, to do what God is calling us to do. What will Faith Promise Mission Conference do for our church? Real quickly, it'll build our faith. Those of you who have been involved in Faith Promise any length of time, you can verify what I'm saying this morning. It will build your faith. I remember being in one conference one year and the devil's on my back and I'm just thinking all day, God, I can't do anymore. I just can't do anymore. And I go to the conference that night and here's this Navajo preacher and he's begging and pleading for God to do something on the reservation. I said, oh God, how can I not increase my faith? Here's a brother that needs help. How can I do less? Faith Promise Mission Conferences will build your faith. Next, it will fire up your church. It gives us a brand new purpose. It gives us a brand new purpose. It will build up our fellowship as we come together and we together give collectively to the furtherance of the gospel around the world. It builds our faith. It will build a fire under us. It will build fellowship. And it will build finances of the church. Somebody said, you can't give to missions, you'll hurt your church. Only if church members are given their tithe to the missionary, that will hurt the church. Been the pastor for 11 years here. In 11 years, we've given $1.7 million to missions. It's not because of me. It's because of him. It's because of him. I'm not anything. God is everything. We've given twice that amount in tithes and offerings. We don't owe a penny to anybody. Thank God. Faith Promise doesn't hurt your church. Faith Promise, if it's done properly, will help the local ministry. It will help the finances of the local ministry. The only way it would ever affect the finances of the local church if people take from their tithe. In other words, they rob Peter to pay Paul. Never God's intention. Never was, never will be. Next, Faith promise will build our field. Faith promise giving will build our field. When you stop and think about it, the local church is pretty much locked into its neighborhood. You know, most people are not going to, and there's a few exceptions to this, but most people are not going to drive miles and miles and miles and miles and miles to get to a local church. But they will go to a church in their area. So in that sense, we're kind of landlocked in our ability to preach the gospel. What does missions do? Missions goes beyond our boundaries. Throughout the state, throughout the country, throughout the world. So then just instead of just preaching the gospel from street to street, all of a sudden we're preaching the gospel from shore to shore. Isn't that a blessing? It will build our field. And then it will build our future. It will build our future. Missions is the very heartbeat of God. As we move by faith, we can be assured of God's presence. We can be assured of God's protection, His peace in our local ministry. And I've saved the best for last. Giving to Faith Promise Missions will be our final reward. Turn with me, if you would please, to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, if you would. And I want to begin to read in verse number 15. Paul is writing, he's addressing the church in Philippi. He says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no other church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." He's writing to the church of Philippi, and he is commending them for their mission vision. Notice what he says. "For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity." You sent unto my necessity. Notice what he says in verse number 17. "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to" what? "To your account." I like God's math. God blesses the missionary for going, and God blesses you for sending. You are co-laborers with Christ. You both will receive a reward at the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says you cannot give a cup of cold water in the Lord's name and not be rewarded for it. Do you really think for one moment that you're going to give by faith to send missionaries around the world to preach the gospel and God's not going to take note of that? Do you really think for one moment that you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and He's not going to reward that effort and that labor? Listen to me. God is more interested in missions than you could ever be. Remember the song? Faces. Faces. You know why that's possible? You know why that song is scriptural? Because it's real. And it will happen one of these days. We're going to get to heaven, and I believe that there's people going to come up to us, people we've never seen, people that outside of the gospel we would never have any contact with whatsoever. They're going to walk up to us, and they're going to say, "Thank you for giving. Thank you for giving. Because of your willingness, God called a missionary who was willing to go, and you were faithful to send him and her so that I might hear the precious gospel, and I got saved." I believe our reward is the ultimate Because by faith, we did what could not be done otherwise. We tithed, we gave the special offering, and we gave by faith to Faith Promise. Glory be to God. Let me ask you a question. What are we going to do this coming year? What are we going to do? We're going to have an invitation. The altar is yours. If you would like to come forward, ask the Lord, God, what do you want me to do this year by faith for Faith Promise giving? God will speak to your heart if, first of all, you tithe. Get that settled. Don't rob God. Don't pay Peter with Paul's money. Do it scripturally, and God will richly bless. Father, help us today. Speak to our hearts. We have a wonderful opportunity this coming week to attend the 2018 Berean Baptist Church Mission Conference. Lord, we have planned for a wonderful week, but we need your blessing. We need people to faithfully commit to you, to trust you by faith, trust you to provide over and above their tithe and their regular giving, so that a lost world will hear the gospel. Help us, Lord. Please stand, if you would, with your head.